What if the most spectacular event of all time took place in stillness and near silence in the soft blue-gray light of dawn? In Mark's telling of the resurrection, there is no earthquake. There are no angels appearing like shining lightning bolts or wearing dazzling clothing. Even a risen Christ. There are only three grief-stricken women, a strange young man, an empty tomb. Yet that is enough, it seems, to nearly stop the women's hearts and apparently to stop their mouths. Though they'd been chatting, sadly and quietly, no doubt, as they made their way to the place where the body of Jesus had been laid, wondering who would roll away the stone for them. Once they'd gotten there and seen the great stone already shifted from the tomb, once they'd ventured bravely or timidly inside and come upon the young messenger, they didn't say a word. I imagine the young man speaking softly to them. "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him." They simply stared. "But go, he urged them gently, go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." They looked and listened and looked and listened, and then they ran, the only sound, the soft pounding of their feet on the path as they gathered their skirts and hurried off. This story would be an utter failure on Hulu, no doubt. Netflix probably wouldn't make a dime off of it. For we've become so accustomed in our culture to spectacle and special effects, to high def and Dolby. We've come to crave the stunning, the impressive, awesomeness on demand. Even in real life, if something doesn't grab the headlines and create a Twitter storm, we don't even notice. Maybe that's why I feel drawn to this particular gospel story right now. It's resurrection on mute, or at least on very low volume anyway. There are no digitally enhanced angels, no computer-generated mayhem, no dramatic music to telegraph the importance of the event. There's not even a cameo appearance by the star of the show. Just pale early morning light, a gentle voice, a sharp intake of breath maybe, a tomb open and empty that should be shut up tight and very much occupied. I can almost see myself standing with them, with Mary and Salome. I imagine their uneasiness, the weight of the silence. But also, could there be expectation, even hope? This scene reminds me a little of Elijah waiting for the Lord in 1 Kings. The angel of the Lord said to Elijah, Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. No wonder the women ran. The dim, empty tomb, the calm, quiet young man, vision, angel, fellow disciple, they all brought home to them what no loud and overplayed melodrama could have accomplished. After the emotional windstorm and earthquake and pyrotechnics of the arrest and trial and bitter, bitter death, in the silent stillness of that empty tomb, the women knew he was not there. He had been raised. It overwhelmed them. Now, although our Bibles show us some additional endings to Mark's gospel, it's pretty clear that they were all added later to make it more palatable. Terrified women running away? Now, who thought that was a good ending for a story meant to convince and inspire? But how could they not run when they realized what that empty tomb meant? Go and tell, the young man at the tomb said. They went, but they did not tell. At first, that is. They just ran until they stopped to catch their breath, perhaps, and remembered the things Jesus had said before his death. Was it then that they stopped running away and began running to proclaim this astounding good news to the others? That day, the next, they must have told it in time, for we hear it still. Poet, pastor Barry Shepherd imagines that early morning rising, its possibilities. He writes, and was that a rising like bread or like mountains? Explosive like a ball over fence, bloom in spring, or steady, relentless as waves in the ocean? Or steeples on churches, or gulls soaring wings. Or perhaps it was human, like waking in April with sun on your face, and a foretaste so wild, and a spring in your marrow no winter can frost kill. Light lifting lilt in the eyes of a child, and the lilt in the eyes of a child. What if resurrection is less like the latest big budget blockbuster on our giant flat screens or our giant smartphones, and more like bread rising, like waking up with sunlight on your face, like laughter shining in a child's eyes, like God wiping a tear from our eyes? And what if, in our world's craving for bright colors and loud noise and astounding technological displays, what if we miss it altogether? Maybe this is the perfect resurrection story for our second pandemic Easter. For the pandemic, has reinforced what these women teach us. Not about fear, we have always known about that. But perhaps the pandemic, in making our lives more limited, more muted, has helped us understand what these women discovered about the simple power of showing up, or of quiet, of standing still, of listening close and taking note in order to receive the astounding message of the power of Jesus the Christ, God made flesh, at loose in the world, still inviting us, in the words of the poet Wendell Berry, inviting us to practice resurrection, showing forth the good news of God's redemption of the world in the ways we live, in the love we share, in the hope we persist in, and the resilience of our faith. As Berry's poem says, friends, every day do something that won't compute. Love the Lord. Love the world. Work for nothing. And he adds, laugh. Laughter is immeasurable. Be joyful, though you have considered all the facts. What if, since that early morning, so long ago, in that pre-dawn tomb, the seeds of resurrection joy were quietly planted deep within all that lives? In silence, in shadow, taking root perhaps, flowering, unfolding, mutely, steadily, powerfully. In the swaggering teenaged boy, the lost and frightened girl, in the fear-possessed and the wealth-obsessed, the dying old woman, the debt-ridden dad, in the undocumented single mom, the parole-denied prisoner, the love-denied child, taking root and giving courage and hope, if only it is nurtured, perhaps by you, only allowed to flourish in the midst of this fractured world like weeds in a sidewalk, like life out of death. Were the women simply terrified or awestruck? Were they dumbfounded and thrilled? All we know is they kept quiet. They listened. They saw. They heard. They ran. And I think they ran off to practice resurrection in their words and their lives. I think they did, they and others, because with Paul, I am able this morning to remind you, dear siblings in Christ, of the good news that has been proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which you also stand. That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and the 12 and many other sisters and brothers. He has been raised. So we have come to believe, and so we proclaim. Alleluia! 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 You can unmute if you like. Amen.
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 And now, my friends, let's see what's next. Oh, invite Clayton will invite us to the offering, and then we will hear our offertory anthem.
The risen Christ calls us by name. with compassion for our needs. As we hear the offertoria anthem, let us, with that same mercy, decide on and dedicate our tithes and offerings to relieve the suffering of this world and to proclaim far and wide the good news of the resurrection life.